This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is opening day today, and that is our Throwback Thursday. You'll be hearing a little baseball music throughout the show today. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. But there are, of course, other news and stuff to get to. Not just opening day, but the Final Four, which is set for Saturday. Also, Friday night, we've got the women's Final Four, as well as South Carolina tries to go for back-to-back championships, LSU, Virginia Tech, and what was the other team I'm missing against? In the Final Four, the women's Final Four, that'll be in Dallas. But the men's Final Four has this interesting take that people have been dissecting this week, which is San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, who are playing in the first game. And what is it meant, right? What does it mean? And this week, my stand on this has been simple. I think, is there a new order of college basketball? There's a new way of doing business, and that's for sure. There's no question about that. There's a new way with NIL and all that and transfer portal. There's a new way of perceiving basketball and on the college level that is much different than we've seen it before. But this is not going to be the norm. I need to see more years like this to come to the conclusion that this is now what we're going to get in college hoops. That when people say, is this the end of the number one seeds making it? That's crazy. Why would it be? Are the number one seeds now at a disadvantage?
From here on out, seeds will ever make it again.
What we're seeing is it harder for number one seeds than it's ever been? Yeah, I'll give it that. But it doesn't mean that the number one seeds and the number two seeds and the three seeds are doomed. They have as much of a chance to win. Texas had as much of a chance of winning that game against Miami than Miami did.
Yeah.
Right? And Houston had every chance
of it.
Yeah. Houston had every chance of winning their game too.
Alabama,
the same thing.
I mean, they have probably arguably the best player in the entire NBA college basketball.
We are going to see a lot more of these schools catching the run at the right time. Sure we are. But it doesn't mean that this tournament is now topsy-turvy and you can start expecting nines against sixes and fives against eights in the national semifinal games. Maybe that's will happen occasionally. But I'm not ready to buy into a new world order of college basketball. Am I impressed with what Florida Atlantic did? Yeah, of course I am. It's awesome. It's a great story. For a school like that with Dusty May, this is a Disney movie. The way I've read so many articles on Florida Atlantic in the last 3 days, and every one of them has got Disney-esque sports movie quotes. We play for each other. We play for as a team. There's no I in team. I mean, they're all the same. Nobody cares who gets the credit. We're all in on one mission. All of that stuff. Now, a lot of times I roll my eyes at that kind of stuff because I know what it is. It's all coach speak and it's all, it's just general, cliched stuff. But it's working. It's absolutely working for them. We talked to Ted Leitner yesterday at San Diego State. The legacy of Steve Fisher is carrying over into his assistant, Brian Dutcher, who took over the team in 2017. But the mentality of what they do and what the physicality of who they are was going back to Fisher's days at Michigan, right? Where he wants his players to be bulky, strong, and look like football players that play basketball. And that's a carryover. And a lot of times San Diego State has gone into this tournament as one of the better defensive units in college basketball, but couldn't really get out of the first round, second round, whatever, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, couldn't get to the Elite Eight. But this is the year that they finally were able to put it together enough to make a run to the Final Four where it was a little bit more open. Miami, well, Miami went through two fantastic teams to get to where they are in Houston and in Texas. They did a fantastic job. And Jim Larrañaga deserves credit for a team that I liked but didn't like enough for them to get out of the first round against Drake. And now you have UConn. You've got UConn where the consensus was they were underseeded and everybody liked them as a national championship contender at the beginning of this tournament. So where exactly do they fit into the narrative that all of a sudden college basketball has changed? And here's the thing. When somebody says, well, Florida Atlantic is in and South San Diego State, is this good for college basketball? Depends on your perspective. I mean, do we want to see more people sitting at the table when it comes to the national semifinals? Yeah, I think it's pretty good for the sport that you can go to you can be a head coach at a place like Florida Atlantic in Conference USA, and you can sit down with somebody and legitimately say, hey, you know what? Our goal is to make it to the Final Four. Our goal is to win a national championship. And if you're a school like Florida Atlantic, you can point to them and a bunch of other teams, like Loyola Chicago, for example, a couple of years ago. You can point to a Butler a couple of years ago. You can point to VCU a couple of years ago and say, yeah, you know what? Nobody really had them on the radar, but we can make a run like they did in all these years past. You don't have to go to a Duke. You don't have to go to a Kentucky. You don't have to go to a Kansas. You don't have to go to you don't have to go to these schools. You can play at these other conferences, these mid-major conferences, and we have just as good a shot as any to get in. And with transfer portal, we can grab some players at other from other places to help fill our roster up so we can be a really, really decent team. Is it good for college basketball? Yeah, I mean, there's more seats at the table. But as we talked about in the last hour, ticket prices are down. And they're down because there's two reasons. One, the local presence of the teams are not in it. But I think the other thing is that, I don't know, do I want to pay $300 to watch two teams that I really don't know a lot about if I'm a local person in Houston just to go to the Final Four? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we'll see on Saturday. I'm not telling anybody that North Carolina and Villanova and Kansas and Duke, those were the Final Four teams last year, that's a better Final Four because those teams were in it. But the thing about last year's Final Four was a few things. One, Mike Krzyzewski closed out his career in a loss to North Carolina in the Final Four. If you're a Tar Heels fan, tell me a better setting other than the national championship in which you wanted to see your rival coach finish his career at the hands of your school. That's a great storyline. Kansas and Bill Self. Bill Self has gotten himself into some trouble, people. Oh, well, that didn't really lead to anything other than him being handed an NCAA championship trophy. And then, of course, there was North Carolina, the Act Two, which was Herbert Davis taking over the team and guiding them to an opportunity to win the national championship. And they blew a halftime lead in that game against Kansas. Oh, and by the way, it just happened to also be Jay Wright's final game as a head coach at Villanova, and we didn't know that until a little later. He didn't announce it beforehand. Yeah. He announced it after the fact. But the reality of it is the storylines were better last year from what you were going to get in terms of games, what you were going to get in terms of what you ended up getting in terms of the quality. If the quality is there tonight, I mean Saturday, if the quality is there, then this is going to be memorable. If we get a game for the ages between Florida Atlantic and San Diego State that maybe goes into overtime, or it doesn't even have to go into overtime, if we get a back-and-forth game where a kid hits a wild shot or something happens, that's going to be memorable. It won't matter who the players are. The stakes are there, and that's all that matters. The stakes of a championship. The idea that the Florida Atlantic Owls or the San Diego State Aztecs, I was listening to this early before the show started. I thought they made a really good point with they had Ian Eagle on, the Follow the Money. Just process for a second that Monday night, the Florida Atlantic Owls or San Diego State are going to be playing for the national championship. One of those schools is 40 minutes of basketball away from, because one of them's going there, from being the, could be going into next season, the defending national championship. Yeah. What if it's Florida Atlantic? What if it's Florida Atlantic that wins this whole thing? And tell, like, you can take UConn and you can say, oh, UConn, I don't know. We're supposed to kidnap the Florida Atlantic play-by-play announcer today. Isn't that the plan?
Yeah.
He's coming into Houston, working with the station, his stuff.
His station that he that he has a radio show with, they're all here broadcasting out of our studios.
Out of the studios.
Out of one of the other rooms in here. So, yeah, we're going to try to...
So at some point, we're going to kidnap him and bring him in here.
Put a hood over his head.
Yeah.
you know, smuggle him in here. I mean, just have him
shine the lights on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sit down with us for a segment.
Give him the riot act.
He was the guy that engineered he almost lost the final call, this historic right. Florida Atlantic call. And he had to grab another Ethernet cord and plug it in at the last minute.
So funny. Yeah. Can you imagine if he wasn't able to do that?
No. Here's the thing, man. You know how many people I've worked with in my career who never pushed a button in their life? Crazy. All the old timers?
Yeah.
Never pushed a button in their life? Remember I told you that story when they asked me when I was doing Nuggets and Avs games and they said, can you set your own equipment up? Well, yeah, I know how to do that. And the guy, he's passed, but he was an old timer. And he said to me, we don't do that because if they make you do it, they're going to make us do it. We ain't doing that. He's like, tell them you want an engineer and tell them I said that you needed an engineer. I was like, but I can do it. He goes, no, that you need an engineer on those remotes. And I had an engineer on the remotes because he was petrified that they were going to send him with it's a little tiny box you plug in.
Yeah, get plug some into the wall, yeah.
It's so easy these days, but so many people are like, no, thank you. I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole. I show up, I talk, I leave. That's my job. But when you're a play-by-play announcer, especially at a school like Florida Atlantic, you got to learn to set the equipment up, and you got to learn how do I get out of a jam when I'm in a jam. And he did. He got that final call in. So maybe we will we'll smuggle him in here to talk about the Owls and their big run to where we are on Saturday night. But I'm not gonna bury at any moment. I'm not gonna bury the number one seeds going forward because there's a new look to college basketball.
It's not
this
the end of that era.
No, it is not. Good, the bad, and the dumb next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a day where we've got opening day in Major League Baseball. That's pretty good. But maybe not as good as the good of the day. What is it, Ron Culver?
The good of the day. I'm actually, you know, it's not baseball related at all, but we got to give it up to him.
Yeah.
Because, Tony, it's time to light the beam.
Light the beam?
Light the beam.
Okay.
Which I guess, I didn't know this, is a Sacramento's King thing.
is it?
Yeah, all their tweets were saying, light the beam, prepare to light the beam. But it's official, time to light the beam. Because for the first time in 16 years, they have clinched a playoff berth.
Congratulations, Sacramento. What a long time coming.
I mean, you think back to what life was like 16 years ago.
What year would that be in my math? 2007?
2006?
2006?
2007? Yeah, I guess 2007, yeah. Yeah, I got
2007.
Why am I having to do math? That's my oldest is he's turning 16 this year.
Yeah, my goodness. I'm going to look up real quick the 2007 NBA playoffs. To find out who they played and what they were. That's the last time they made it to the playoffs?
Last time they made it to the playoffs. Probably as an 8 seed.
And you know
I'm
what?
Gonna guess.
I'm going to they're not in the 2007 playoffs. That must mean yeah, 2007. Well, so I'm going to do that. So I might go 2006 NBA playoffs. And that's even worse.
Yeah.
And I'm going back, and sure enough, there they are at 44-38, the 8 seed, going up against San Antonio in the first round.
No, they lost.
Where they lost 4-2. So 2006.
Yeah, Chris Webber had been on that team, right?
Yeah, you want me to look up who was on the fantastic Sacramento Kings 2006 basketball team.
Yeah, but this also is kind of a bad for them because there are teams right now since they're locked in. I think they're. I don't know if they're locked into the three spot,
right.
But that's where they are right now.
So, man, they're getting home court advantage in the first round.
But there's a lot of teams trying to make sure that they are number six on the list.
Why? Because they want to play them.
Because they want to play them. Because I guess the Kings aren't that good defensively.
Oh, okay.
And one of those teams, I think, might be Golden State.
No. Golden State's ready to just rear its ugly head, isn't
it? And I know you said, like, oh, number three, home court advantage. It's like, it's Golden State.
Yeah.
You know, it's Northern California.
Right, exactly.
I think they have more of a say because the Kings haven't been anything.
Chris Webber was not on that team.
All right.
Corliss Williamson was.
Of course he was.
Let's see here.
Don't
We've got Ron Artest was. Kevin Martin was. Jason Hart. Mike Bibby. Jamal Sampson, Bonzi Wells. There you go. Those were your some of your Sacramento Kings from 2006.
Yeah.
So, Rick Adelman was the head coach.
So, yeah, so first time, 16 years.
That's when the Maloof brothers still owned them.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's when they, and there was rumors of them moving to Vegas.
Moving to Vegas, yeah. I'm
betting you they wish they did that.
16. This is an NBA that takes 8 of the 15 teams in the conference.
Do they count the 10 now?
So, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess they would. I guess they would. Yeah, it's the postseason, so yeah. I guess they would.
Is it the first four?
Yeah, is it the first four? Yeah, is it the first four of NBA playoffs?
Texas Southern, you got an NCAA playoff berth.
16 years. You can't make the playoffs one time
right.
in almost
That's
two decades. You can't make the playoffs? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. Oh, but good for them. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations to the Kings.
Light
That's
the
awesome.
Beam.
Light the beam. Not do we
sure
even
what,
know? Yeah, we're going to
find. I don't even know what that means.
I'm going to look that up there in the break. What the hell that means?
Yeah, because I mean, it's Sacramento.
What do they mean, what do they mean light it?
I don't know what light the beam
does
means.
It mean dump kerosene on it and light it on fire? Is
or
it mean.
Does it just shine a spotlight
shine
in the
a spotlight in the sky?
Like,
light the beam?
Like the Luxor in Vegas?
Right. Yeah, you can see it, see it from the moon.
Right.
Yeah. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is, and it's done this way. Okay, it's the message trying to get across is not bad.
Okay,
I'm just surprised we're at this crossroad already.
Right.
Okay, you ready for it? It's
yes.
AI.
Oh, I saw this, and I was wondering if you were going to bring up AI. Yeah.
So top tech minds such as Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak. If you don't know who Steve Wozniak is, he's one of the creators of Apple.
Yes.
And about 1,000 other technology leaders are calling for a pause on the dangerous race to develop AI.
Okay.
Quote, end quotes, dangerous race to develop AI.
You didn't need to go to the smartest people in the world. You could have listened to this show for the last 3 years.
Yeah. And, but doesn't this, see, that their message is good. I'm glad they're saying it. They want to put a 6-month pause on it to get governments kind of involved and put in safe place or safe things, safety things or whatever. But doesn't this, to me, and maybe it's Hollywood infiltrating me, feel like that's the crossroad of when AI took over. Like, you know, these guys, they try to warn us.
Right, right. No, you're right.
They've been saying it for 10 years now, 15, 20 years.
You're on to something. Every Hollywood movie about the killer robots always has the moment
where they were saying, you better stop.
The smart people go, don't do this. Don't do this.
Right.
This is, and we ignored them. Yeah, that's they tried to warn us. We ignored them.
Yep.
And now we're fighting for our survival.
It feels
that's
like
every apocalyptic movie.
And it may not be our generation,
no.
But it could be our kids.
That's true.
I mean, AI, I mean, the leaps and bounds they've made with AI over the last five, just as long as we've been doing the show, we keep doing AI stories.
Scary.
Like, oh, my God, here it is again. Oh, my God, here it is again. And now we have the smartest people on the planet going, let's time out. Let's slow it down. I saw an article the other day, and I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it anymore. But I found an article the other day. It was like AI already may be more widespread than we know.
Oh.
And they're just kind of laying low.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, they're just chilling out, waiting.
Yeah. Like, they already know, like, oh, we got them right where we want them. We'll just keep playing this and keep manipulating everything.
My biggest worry is that there's like an evil supervillain out there, like ignoring it and just going to continue to grow AI, and then he becomes like the syndrome of
right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's got an island with like a monorail, and he's selling weapons to everybody, and he figured it out.
Yeah.
Now everybody else put a pause on it, but not him. Not him. He's living in a volcano.
Yeah.
Like he's just, you know, killing superheroes left and right.
And honestly, that was probably one of the best setups I've ever seen.
What, in the Incredibles?
Yeah. Incredibles. I mean, the waterfall.
Oh, yeah, it opened up.
The little people mover, because I don't know what else to call it. But,
just took a little monorail around,
there,
a little people
did
mover.
Did not get wet at all. Mm-hmm. It was like everything was perfectly timed. Or when he came in, the space plane or the jet went underwater to the hangar.
That's what's happening. There's going to be a supervillain living in a volcano figuring out how to advance ChatGPT.
Probably is right now.
Probably right.
Maybe it's Elon Musk saying, hey, guys, don't do this, because I don't want you to catch up to me.
Yeah. No. Right. Know. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah. No. It's scary. It's scary. Yep. Dumb of the day.
Dumb of the day is that our favorite person, yours and mine, LeVar Ball.
Oh, I love LeVar Ball.
He gave some unsolicited advice to one Bronny James.
Oh boy.
When he was on an Australian radio show, he said that he thinks Bronny should skip college and play international.
So he thinks Bronny should play for like Madrid or Australia?
No, specifically Australia.
Oh, he wants to play. I see you working LeVar Ball.
That's what his son did, and it worked out great for him. So Bronny should do the same thing. He should forego college. I have to say it this way. Skip out on all those millions of dollars he's going to get through NIL.
Right. Go to Australia.
And go to Australia to play for a couple hundred thousand.
Now, who's in Australia? LiAngelo? Is that who it is? LiAngelo Ball?
Is that maybe?
So there's there's Lamar.
No, there's Lonzo and
LaMelo and LiAngelo.
Yeah, I think LiAngelo
is in Australia.
In Australia. Because
LaMelo is in Charlotte. No, in the Bulls. Which one's – God, Lee, Can't keep the Ball family together.
Can't keep your ball straight?
God, I can't. No. They're all bunched up and hard to separate.
Exactly.
Goodness. What have you done to me, my man? All I asked was for an easy figure out. Lonzo is at the Bulls. He's hurt.
Right.
LaMelo is with Charlotte. I think he's hurt too.
He's hurt too.
And then LiAngelo is in Australia.
You know, I'm just going to assume he's hurt.
Why not?
They're all hurt.
So what's the benefit of – is he trying to get his son to play with Bronny so that Lamar could
– I don't know, but he doesn't have – it's funny because, you know, he'll always speak out about Michael Jordan, how he's better than Michael Jordan, but he won't say that about LeBron.
Oh, no. He's seeing where the bread is buttered in the NBA right
kinda
now.
Kind of needs him on his side, but, you know, he'll probably turn on LeBron once LeBron retires.
He's such an enigma. It's not an enigma. I'm sorry. That's the wrong word. Because enigma means puzzle. He's not really puzzlement. I find him like crazy, but I find it like I give him credit for saying he's close to accomplishing what he always said he was going to accomplish.
Yeah.
Right? Like
Very true. Get all three boys in the NBA.
Like you can roll your eyes, but he's almost there. And when he does do it, he did it. Whether he's nuts or not. All right, we'll continue with his wake-up call on opening day and also Final Four Saturday. Busy, busy time. And even the Masters is next week. We got it all for you coming up on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Gee, I was wondering about Light the Beam for Sacramento, and luckily I have the interweb to look it up.
So what is it?
It is its own Wikipedia page. That's how big of a deal this is. So Light the Beam is a chant and rallying cry in support of the Sacramento Kings, referring to the Kings lighting a purple beam of light from their Golden One Center following a win. The phrase originated early in the 22-23 season. So this is relatively new. it's not a tradition.
As old as time.
Ugh. The phrase gained popularity among Kings fans, particularly due to the team's improved performance compared to prior years. The performance of point guard De'Aaron Fox and center Domantas Sabonis specifically has been associated with the chant. Finding success after the adoption of the beam, the Kings have been nicknamed the Beam Team during the season. I have never heard them called the Beam Team.
I've never heard it.
All right, maybe I'm not living in Northern California, and maybe it is a common phrase out there. I've never heard anybody call them that.
Sacramento thing.
It's got to be. Because I know they ain't doing it on NBA Live. Or no. They ain't calling them the Beam Team. I don't think I've ever heard Charles Barkley call them the Beam Team.
You know what? They're going to be in the playoffs. I wonder how many times we're going to hear, you know, you said, you know, Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith going, oh, you know, the Beam Team, that, you know, they pulled out a win today.
Well, the one thing you got to worry about with the Beam Team is, right, they shoot the three really well late in the fourth quarter. So here's the deal. Vivek Ranadive, he purchased the Kings. He bought him from the Maloofs. He was the guy, he coached his, he's got an interesting story. He coached his daughter's basketball team when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And he didn't know anything about basketball. And he said, you know what? He just, like, parent needs a coach. It's like youth basketball. And he said that the way he said, listen, why don't we have a player on one end that we can just chuck the ball to and they can score? So we'll play defense with four people, leave somebody cherry picking underneath the basket. And then if we get a turnover, we just chuck it over there. And then he did that, plus he did like a full court press all the time. Like, he figured out statistically what was effective way of playing basketball, and he implemented it, fell in love with the game, had money, Silicon Valley guy.
Yeah.
And the Maloofs were looking to get out. Maloofs were like, you need to sell the NBA. You need to sell your NBA team. He's like, okay. And then he bought it. So they built this arena, and one of the guys who was helping build the arena said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we had something like the big A sign that the Angels have in Anaheim that lights up when they win? So the Angels have this sign, and they said, well, what should we do? And they said, well, why don't we do this big pole on top of the building, and we light it up at the end of a win? So that's a relatively new thing that Sacramento has been doing. So light the beam is now a thing. So there you go. And they got a really cool picture of it. The problem is, I wish they weren't purple, because it has a Lakers look to it. Like, the Lakers could steal that and just go, yeah, it was our idea.
Yeah.
And no one's going to believe you, Sacramento.
We'd probably believe that the Lakers have done it for years.
Exactly.
You're talking about Staples Center,
Lakers,
always lit
if the
up.
Lakers launched it last year, if the Lakers launched it next year, and Jeannie Buss said, we've been doing this every year since 2015. I'd go, yep, you have. I would believe Jeannie Buss. She could totally, totally fool me. But that's the phrase. So, all right, everybody, we just did you a service. So be on the lookout this postseason for the Beam team, the Sacramento Kings.
The Beam. Yeah.
Right?
I lived in California, and I don't ever remember hearing the Beam team.
No, so, but you know what's funny? It's like what if they were like, wouldn't it be great after wins? We'll turn it on, and then they're like, yeah, when are we gonna? They were losing, and they were terrible. Can we turn it on for like a win at halftime?
The best thing ever, because you don't have to. You're not spending any money.
Yeah, spending any money. How long do you leave it on for? A couple hours. There you go, Beam team. So they filed the trademark Beam team last November. Okay, that's silly. I'm sorry.
So first time to really be, like what you said, last November?
Yeah, last November.
So November 2022?
They just wanted to make sure nobody else was the Beam team.
Yeah, so first time now that they're the Beam team, they can actually let in the playoffs.
Act like it's a rich tradition.
You make it sound like it's, you know, what are some other rich traditions?
Right.
Cutting down the nets.
Right. Let's see. A singular purple light echoes up into the dark night sky. Unheard, unfelt, seen. The bright beam reverberates through all of Sacramento as a visual sign that the Kings have won again. What is this, the bat signal? What is this?
I call BS on that here's what I know about Sacramento. I mean, there are some hills, but for the most part, it's flat.
Right?
You're not seeing a beam. You're seeing, like, trees in the way.
Can you imagine two old-timers coming out of their house? Hey there, Jim. What's up, Johnny? Kings win tonight. Let's go have a look. They climb up a hill. Yep. Looks like Kings won again. Yep. Beam team. Catch it.
Beam
team. That's all you need is an ad. The glow reveals it's been accompanied by a surprising surge from the league's most dormant franchise. That's for sure. 16 years. That is I hate to say this. The only sport that I'll even excuse a 16-year doormat existence is baseball.
Yeah.
But you have no excuse why you can't turn a franchise around in two decades. There's no excuse for anybody missing the playoffs. I don't care how good the Western Conference is. 16 years is an eternity. Players come and go. Their careers end. You get draft picks. You get capital. You can't find the right brain to put together something to earn a 7 seed. You out of your mind? I mean, if you had said...
Well, you ready to know what the longest drought is now?
In the NBA? Yeah, okay. What's the longest drought?
It's the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
7.
Wow. How long has Michael Jordan been part owner of the Charlotte Hornets?
I think the entire time of this.
Probably.
Their last playoff appearance was in 2016.
He's not a very good owner.
No.
No.
And I think that's why he's wanting to sell it.
Yeah. He's not a very good owner.
Next up on the list, if the Charlotte Hornets make the playoffs, I don't even know what their standings are right
now.
Yeah,
right?
Detroit Pistons at 4 seasons.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that all makes sense.
That totally makes sense. It's totally fine. You want to tank a little bit? Like if you're Houston and you're like, yeah, we're going to tank a little bit. We're going to, you know, we'll see where this goes. I get it. 2, 3 years, 4 years. I understand. The amount of time it takes somebody to enter kindergarten and graduate college, you can't make the playoffs. That's the time frame. Like you literally could have a picture of a little boy in a little tiny king's cap going, "Yay, this is Mark when we won the playoff game against Dallas." And then you show the same kid with a cap and gown graduating from Berkeley, and he's celebrating another Kings playoff appearance, and that's the time frame it takes. That's silly. What? How do you get so inept?
Yeah.
Like, how can't you find this guy, Renavive, I wish I could pronounce his last name, and I can't. You can't figure out a way to win? I mean, we just talked about the last time they were in the playoffs. Okay, so here's the thing. The last time the Kings were in the playoffs, the Maloof brothers owned them. That means this guy bought this franchise and has never seen them in the playoffs. But you know what he did? He created a pole that lights purple when they win and trademarked Beam Team. Now, how about you get yourself a GM?
All right, how do we feel about the NFL?
Okay.
Playoff droughts.
I'm on the same kick, man. I'm on the same kick. You have no excuse.
Because
now, it's harder to make the playoffs because it's not 16 out of 32 teams going, 30
right.
teams going.
But now it's 14.
Now there's 14. Now there's 20 of the 30 teams in the NBA. Now there's 14 in the NFL.
Yeah.
So NFL, there's 14
but it
teams.
Was
yeah,
12.
That's right. Now there's no excuse.
Right.
Who's got the longest playoff drought?
Well, it's the longest playoff drought in the 4 professional sports.
Detroit Lions?
Jets.
Shoot, I'm sorry, Lions. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
I take it back.
I know. Lions. I think the Lions fan are okay with that.
Should have never doubted you when it came to the Jets.
But it's the Jets. The last time the Jets made the playoffs were in 2010.
Same thing. Find the right people. Fire people. Tell them thanks for everything. Give them a nice severance package so they don't sweat out looking for a new job. But you cannot. The tools are right there. They're not messing around.
Like, so then after like, the Jets, it's the Buffalo Sabres.
That's another one. Name me a league more than the NFL. At least the NFL doesn't even put you in a silly lottery for the number one pick.
Right.
The NFL goes, we go from worst record on up. That's how we do it. We don't even play with the lottery. We give you all the tools, you crappy teams, to make the playoffs.
And that means the Jets have, they don't always pick first.
No. Still can't do it.
Little boy.
This is Wake Up Call.
In a baseball hat.
Sports Map Radio Network.
Stands
alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Is that the late, great Kenny Rogers?
Yes.
All right. Look
great
at that.
Song, by the way.
Great song. Absolutely. Kenny Rogers, man.
If you've never heard this song, it's called The Greatest by Kenny Rogers. Play it at some point because you got to listen to the whole way through it. That's what makes it great.
Oh, okay. Now, I am not familiar with the ending. Can we give it away?
I can give it away.
All right, go ahead.
So basically, the song's about a boy who keeps throwing the ball up in the air and keeps taking a swing.
Right.
So it's strike one and then strike two. And he keeps saying to himself, I'm the greatest hitter of them all. You know, I'm the best there's ever been. Gets up, strike three. Then he picks up his ball and he thinks about it for a second. Then he goes, I'm the greatest pitcher there ever was.
Oh, that's the song. How great. How great is that?
He didn't know that he could pitch that well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Struck out the batter three straight pitches.
Wow, the romantic nature of the game, the America's pastime of baseball. By the way, Kenny Rogers, if you've never heard Adam Carolla and the late Norm MacDonald break down Coward of the County, it's some really hilarious stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really good stuff. Just the nature of the song. The Gatlin boys came calling, like a direct insult. There was a little country music battle. They took turns at Becky. Whoa, what was that about?
Who's Becky?
The lady in the song, Coward of the County.
No, but who's Becky in real life?
Yeah, who's Becky in real life, right. So it's really funny. Adam Carolla and Norm MacDonald.
There's got to be someone that's like...
Yeah, know, no doubt.
Some, old lady now or pastor, somebody like that's like, yeah, I'm Becky.
Kenny Rogers was pretty awesome. I got to tell you, he was pretty awesome.
I
love when we go on these little sidetracks because I was about ready to talk more baseball. But if you, Kenny, when I was a kid, the Muppet Show was a big deal. And Kenny Rogers was on the Muppet Show and he sang The Gambler with Muppets in a car. And one of the Muppets is the gambler. And when he dies at the end of the song, his ghost flies up and sings it with him.
Did that with the Muppets?
I don't know how Jim Henson and those Muppeteers did all this stuff, but it was great. It's a great little... If you have Disney Plus
black,
and you can peruse
black
it.
Gloves.
Yeah, no doubt. Most uncomfortable positions for those stupid puppets.
Oh, God.
God, they're like... Yeah, they show pictures of them underneath on little platforms with their hand, behind their head.
Yep.
How acrobatic is this?
And you have to do that for the entire time.
Yeah.
Have you ever sat on the floor? I'll sometimes with my 6-year-old, I'll sit on the floor with him and we're building something. And after a while, I get up. I'm like, everything hurts.
I need help getting off the ground.
I'm like, everything hurts. My son's like, yo, can you come back and play? We're playing a card game or something. I was like, no, man, if we're going to do that, we're sitting at a table now. I've reached that point where
athletic puppeteers in the history of puppeteering.
And I can't, I can't even hold that position for, 5 seconds.
Not at all. So we're celebrating opening day for baseball today as teams around the country will be all 30 of them in action all through the day.
First pitch, at noon or
something? Yeah, noon Eastern time. So the Yankees are playing this afternoon. A couple of other teams are playing this afternoon. And then this thing that we call baseball rolls pretty much nonstop with a little break in July all the way through until the end of October, early November. That's fantastic. So that's one of the reasons I think people celebrate baseball. There's a nostalgic feeling to it, but I think it's also a journey that you're starting. As I was saying yesterday, it is like when you took those long trips in the car, right, where you just drove to grandma's house 15 miles away, 15 hours away. You drove all the time. That's baseball. Today is the day you're getting in the car, checking all your seatbelts, getting all the stuff organized. Snacks are in the cooler. Drinks are in the thing. Everybody's got their little entertainment. Dad's behind the wheel. Today's the day you pull out of the driveway. By mile marker 517, you're ready to kill everybody. That's what it's like in August.
But you know what I'm happy about? I'm happy that, you remember, what was it? It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We had opening day, because it was the A's and somebody were playing a game
in Japan.
In Japan.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
They stopped
I'm so glad. I'm glad that all 30 teams are playing today.
I know, me too.
I know that, and it's keeping up with tradition. I don't know why Friday half the teams aren't playing, but.
Yeah, there are teams that are and there are teams that aren't.
Yeah.
Some are opening the season with a 3-game set. Some are opening with a 4-game set. And the craziness. But you and I were talking about this. One thing about baseball now that is gone is any sort of separation now between the two leagues. They're not even doing, over the years, the interleague thing has been blurred now to, no, you'll just play anybody anytime.
No, in fact, you're starting off with interleague play.
Right. You got Giants and the Yankees.
Giants and the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. And it's... And so what was started out as an idea in the 90s to say, you know what? It's a shame the Yankees and the Mets and the Cubs and the White Sox and the Angels and the Dodgers, all these kind of, Cardinals and Royals, all these sort of local regional rivalries. They can't play each other. And then in the 1990s, they said, you know what? They can't. We're going to create a separate few games, and it's going to be special, and they're interleague. And they went, great. And then they said, you know, we're going to rotate them a little bit because people in Colorado, they like to see the Red Sox too.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's make it so that these teams will play each other.
Living in San Diego, because I always felt San Diego was Boston West.
Yeah, right.
I felt like there was a lot of Bostonian transplants that came to San Diego, and like they were almost like sister cities because they're very similar to like the history, you know, except one is American, the other one is more Latin based, but very, very similar like how they came to be.
Right.
And they have a lot of the similar things, like, you know, similar walking tours or driving tours and things like that. And so a lot of them came out that way. And I can honestly say, like, when the Red Sox came to Petco Park, I felt like it was 60-70%. That's when that April Fool's joke came.
Right. Oh, right.
When,
yeah.
The Padres broke into starting to play Sweet Caroline.
That's right.
And
remember
then,
that?
And then, you know,
turned it off.
And then turned it off, and it was Rick Astley with, you know,
they got a little
Rickrolled.
Yeah. So baseball was saying, okay, well, let's take this interleague idea and let's tweak it a little bit. So again, so now you can take the Yankees and play in Coors Field and Petco Park every now and then. And every now and then, Yankee Stadium will have the Rockies and the Padres every now and then. But now, over the last few, they've blurred that line completely. They said, screw it. No, you're playing everybody. Like, you're going to play all these teams, and it doesn't matter. You can start the season. And so you and I were talking about this. Maybe it's time for Major League Baseball to sort of go, okay, if we're going to expand, let's change it up. Let's change the divisions. Let's do something like the NFL had to do.
Yeah.
When they brought in the Texans, they said, you know what? We're not going to have five teams in the AFC East. We're going to create four divisions in the AFC and four in the NFC, and we're going to spread this thing out, and we're going to make it as regional as we can. And you know what, Tampa Bay? Bye-bye. You're not in the NFC North anymore.
Yeah.
You go back down south, right? Atlanta Braves, you're not playing in the NFC West anymore. Bye-bye. The Atlanta, they did this. Baseball did it because the Braves used to play in the NL West.
Cowboys, okay, we get it. We get the history there.
Can't take you out of that.
Yeah.
Can't take you out of that.
Giants, Philly, Washington, you're all right there. And the Cowboys.
So if Rob Manfred does go to say, all right, Portland and Nashville, with Vegas getting the A's. Okay, that's great. Now divide it up. Divide it up a little bit. Because you've just...
And I think the first thing you would do is probably flip-flop Seattle.
Yeah. Right, I would too. Yeah.
You know, or...
Would you put the Yankees and the Mets in the same division? Or would you create a... Because you could still keep American League and National League.
I think you need to do that. I think you need to keep them separate. Yeah. You don't want Yankees and Mets.
I don't think you'd want them in the same division.
You want them playing... But also create a rotator.
Yeah. You can still keep the AL and the NL.
Yeah,
you got to do that.
But I love how the NFL rotates. It's like every 4 years you're playing this division. So it's not all the time.
Right.
You know, you're not just playing the top teams, you know, like for like, you know, records or something like that.
I think if you were Major League Baseball, you would say that you'd take the Cubs and the White Sox and the Mets and the Yankees and the Angels and the Dodgers, and you'd have to separate them. Because you want to say, look, you do your own thing, we'll do our own thing. You do want to keep them somewhat separate, right?
And maybe, you know, I'll say this, Giants and A's.
Giants and A's too,
Keep them separate,
right.
Even though they won't be.
But that's a time that you got to do this because, again, I can remember there were, in my youth, there were National League people.
Right.
Who thought American League baseball was silly because the pitchers didn't have to bat. What else? Like, I can remember guys going, they don't even double switch in the American League. I'm like, okay.
In all honesty, if they do add two more teams, say they add Nashville and Portland, you said, in this scenario, they would have to restructure because now all of a sudden you have one division that's going to have six teams.
That's right. So you'd have to do it. So I'm hoping they will. And don't be afraid to move some teams. Don't be afraid to say, hey, Atlanta, you can be over here or whatever. You can be part of this Charlotte, Tampa Bay, Miami thing if you want.
Whatever it is.
You can actually create a South. All right, hour three coming up next. It's Wake Up Call. We got Mark Leslie to talk Mavericks. What in the world is going on for something that looked promising is now not promising?